What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals got their win yesterday in their first road game. They even up their record at 2-2. We're going to talk more about Chris Bubich, who was fantastic yesterday. Also, a little bit more about Mikel Garcia. But the Royals are back at it tonight. It'll be Michael Lorenzen making his 2025 debut. 6:40, first pitch. Of course, the game right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on What's Trending, the NFL approving some rules today. They also announced they will do a Christmas triple header, two games on Netflix, one game on Amazon Prime. They changed a new overtime rule. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit, that will allow both teams to possess the ball in the regular season, not just in the postseason. They expanded replay assist, and they changed the kickoffs, moving the touchbacks back to the 35 or up to the 35-yard line.
Good.
We'll talk about some of those and how they impact the sport here in just a few minutes, but it is rule change day in the NFL. They did, however, table any further conversation on the tush push until the next meeting in May.
One of the biggest stories in sports today centers around college basketball, women's college basketball. That's because what would be the number two overall pick potentially
in the WNBA
draft, Notre Dame guard Olivia Miles, reports are she is going to forego the WNBA draft and enter the transfer portal instead. She had said she was undecided about entering the draft. Remember, this is all about NIL and the kind of money that she can make transferring to another school versus being the number two overall pick in the WNBA draft. It says a lot about NIL. It also still says a lot about the salaries that are paid in the WNBA. But that's a big deal that a player is choosing to stay in college for an additional year.
To enter the transfer portal at that age at the women's college basketball, she's going to get paid a couple million bucks.
Oh, I think she is.
To go play at one of the top programs in the country.
So somebody from front office sport, or there's a guy at Forbes that did the research, the average money for the top four picks in the WNBA draft make about $76,000. The top four players in college basketball and women's college basketball made $1.1 million.
Yes.
So you're making more than
ten times the
money.
Yeah, she'll make both, right? I mean, she would make her salary and endorsements in the WNBA.
Yeah, she'll get drafted.
But the endorsements
next year
are still better. Women's college basketball still has kind of a better foothold than the pro game does in a lot of ways. And so, yeah, we'll see. Look, good for her. She wants to stay in college and get paid a couple million dollars. Oh, no. Could you imagine, Gold, if they would have just paid you a few million dollars to stay in college another year? I think most of us would probably.
And she'll, you know, if she stays healthy, she'll be a top five pick again. Like, so she'll get the money and she'll just go to the league a year later. It seems like a smart decision.
Next up on What's Trending, Garrett Crochet, after being traded to the Red Sox this offseason, has signed a six-year, $160 million extension with the Boston Red Sox. He had stated before he would not negotiate in season. Apparently, that just meant unless the number's right. The number was right. He signed for $160 million. Remember, he still had a lot of his rookie contract left on the deal. This is kind of like the Bobby Wood Jr. thing. He had plenty of control left, but they wanted to make sure they had a lot of control left on Crochet. So he gets a new deal. He'll be with the Red Sox for a long time.
Yeah, one of their biggest acquisitions, Sim and Alex Bregman, over the offseason. The Boston Red Sox is active as anybody in the American League East. Lastly, on What's Trending, we announced at the start of the show today, our fan draft party is back later on this month. First round of the NFL draft will be up at the Landing in Liberty. That's Thursday, April 24th. Starts at 6 o'clock. The Character Concerns crew will be broadcasting live. That's Bink and Chris Unocero. Plus, our draft contest is back with this. We've upgraded the prize now that we're on 96.5 The Fan instead of 610. We had a $610 prize last year, $965 this year. Plus,
the station draft beneficial to you.
That's right. Plus, autographed Juwan Taylor helmet. We'll have more details on the draft contest, but we're running that back again. The entire staff is going to be there. So hope to see you guys at the Landing. Mark your calendars a couple Thursdays away, the 24th. That is What's Trending here on Cody and Gold. Looking forward to being up there again. We've had some great crowds. Packed house.
Yeah,
guarantee
it's usually
you'll
crowded.
Be a packed house again. It's been that way the last couple years. Definitely want to get there early, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I would say so. It will be a great time. We like interacting with everybody, having a good time out there. The whole station was there. We'll be there again.
Meanwhile, the Royals, in the middle of their first road swing of the season, they got the win last night against the Brewers. And as we said during What's Trending, they're back at it again tonight. They're in Milwaukee and trying to go ahead and take the series in game two. That'd be nice. Michael Lorenzen going to make his season debut, and he had a nice season a year ago. But the best sign four games in, like, I get it. You can pick an offensive player. It has to be Chris Bubich yesterday. It just has to be.
Dominant.
He's somebody that is slated to be your fourth starter. And you know you traded away Brady Singer. And how do you make up for that? And I'm not saying Chris Bubich is doing this every time out. If he does, he'll be a Cy Young candidate. But
he'll win the Cy Young if he does that.
Yeah, zero runs, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of outing gives you hope that that's what potentially you could see a couple times throughout this season, that he can be 85% of what Brady Singer was or better. And if that's the case, then it's it makes the Jonathan India trade look even better if that's the case. But you needed somebody to take a hold of that fourth spot in the rotation. And one start, it's just one start. We don't know. The Brewers might turn out to be one of the worst teams in baseball. I have no idea, right? So it's too early to tell. Right now, the Brewers look like one of the worst teams in baseball, but we'll see if that's what they are. And Chris Bubich, for his first start to strike out the side in the first inning, that was really, really positive for the rest of the season, frankly.
Yeah, and the way I viewed this going into the year and why I had told you before the season had started, before he started yesterday, I was very high on Chris Bubich, so I was paying very close attention to these early starts, right, to see if he's going to be able to hold down the fort. Obviously, he was excellent yesterday. Again, I don't expect him to go six shutout innings every single time he takes the bump with eight strikeouts, but the way he looked yesterday is exactly why I think they were willing to give up Brady Singer for Jonathan India. I do not think that that was a decision that they took lightly. I know that they were running out of time on Brady Singer's contract, but to give up a starting pitcher in a rotation that was 100% the single biggest reason why you made the postseason last year, even more than your MVP caliber shortstop who was excellent all year. The starting rotation as a unit mattered the most in what got them to 86 wins and helped them get a playoff spot for the first time in a long time in 10 years, you know, for their team. So, like, to give up one of those five, knowing that the fifth guy wasn't even going to be healthy to start the season, all that stuff, because you already knew you were dealing with an injury with Marsh, like, they needed Chris Bubich to be good. They were banking on Chris Bubich being good. They were looking at what they saw to the bullpen last year and figured, like teams did with Seth Lugo, including themselves, no, he can go back to the starting rotation and this is going
to
work.
And he's still likely to have an innings limit, though, this year. And that's where later on in the year, can they, you know, depending on the schedule and off days and makeup days and all that, could they steal a start at some point in time? Could they skip him in the rotation later on the year? Those are conversations months from now, but that'll be something later on the year that we'll have to consider, which is why, you know, you want to see Michael Lorenzen tonight as your fifth starter perform well. It's why later on when Alec Marsh is back from the IL or eventually Kyle Wright, how do they all figure into this? Because it's very unlikely Chris Bubich can make it through the whole season without having a start skipped at some point or two or three just because of the innings limitation. But gotta love what you saw right out of the gate from Chris Bubich. That's a huge positive.
That was just, and look, it is to pick on them a little, but not on purpose. The Brewers might just be the worst team in baseball. I mean, I don't think
they will end up being that, but right
now. Are we sure? Oh, man, they look so bad.
I don't think, they will not be the worst team in baseball, but there's a chance that there's not any good. Their pitching's a mess right now. They've got some injuries. They got destroyed by the Yankees over the weekend. The same thing happened. The pitcher today that's starting for the Brewers has an 18 ERA already because of how bad things went.
Already?
That's what happens when you were getting destroyed by New York.
Where's the Brewers? I want to know what their run differential is because I guarantee it's
Of course the worst in baseball.
Negative 32. They've played four baseball games.
Yeah.
That means they're losing on average by 7.5 runs per game on average.
Yeah,
they've
been
awful. Game.
They've been awful. I would take anybody's bet that they're going to be the worst team in baseball. But could they be a disappointing team this year? You know, after having their general manager of the year and manager of the year a year ago, is there a chance that the Brewers end up falling way back? Yeah, there's definitely that possibility. But it's also just, you know, horrific start to the season.
Do you realize who I didn't realize this because, you know, it's not really, we've just been watching the Royals here in the early going. Second, it looks weird because in 25th is Sacramento. And I'm like, Sacramento?
Oh, that just sounds
Sacramento?
Weird.
Who the hell is in Sacramento?
Did you see, so Sacramento A's, they're, of course, playing in a minor league stadium. We know that.
Yeah.
Somebody sent out a photo of their, like, press conference room is a shed.
And this is in April Fool's?
No, this was a real one because I saw awful.
I'm just asking. Awful, it's April 1st, it so I got to check.
Awful Announcing put out the tweet, and I looked. The tweet was from 15 hours ago. So it was not that could not have been that.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure since we were, you know, it is that day. The second worst team in the league, the Minnesota Twins, who are 0-4 to start the year. I don't know if. I think 0-4 to start the year. They lost to the White Sox 9-0 yesterday.
Yeah, the sorry, I was just reading more on the A's article. They also had their broadcast went completely crapped out multiple times during their first game in their new stadium.
They're playing on a trip. Oh man, I feel bad for the players. Like, can Brent Rooker, didn't he sign a contract? Can you just, like, request to not play for that team? Hey, dear Major League Baseball, I'd like to file an official petition that anybody who's currently a Major League quality player is allowed to seek a trade to literally, why does Billy Bean keep working there? Wouldn't you at this point, Gold, just found some other place to do your job? What's even the point? They give you no resources. Your stadium was a dump. They're now moving you, but they're taking forever to do it. They don't even have your home yet. You're just sitting around in Sacramento. Like, I just find a different job, I guess. I know that's easier said than done, but, man, I'd find a different job. It was great to see the Royals get back to 2-2. I'd like to get to 3-2. Feel like things are heading in a good direction. Everybody can kind of, you know. I think everyone was, you know, not, like, nervous, but, like, you hate to see the losing the first series at home against the divisional opponent. But right now, The White Sox are tied for first in the division. If you need to know if there's any evidence.
I like my over 54.5 wins for the White Sox.
Did you end up betting that?
No.
That'd have been funny.
We talked about it.
We did talk about it.
Over 54.5 wins for the White Sox. We're on a great pace right now. Great pace.
2-2. They're on pace for 81.
That's right.
You're pacing way ahead.
I mean, they're going to hit this by July. Yeah, we're in great shape.
Right now, the division is White Sox, Guardians, and Royals are all 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Tigers are 1-3. The Twins are 0-4. The Twins have been getting smoked. Yeah, they look as bad as the Brewers.
It's so early. As someone on the text line said, like, the Royals are probably going to lose 4 in a row at some point as well. You know, it's everything's magnified. You don't want to start 0-4 and all that. It's very
hard to dig yourself out of a hole if you have a really bad April. Not a bad four games, right. A bad April.
The best news other than Bubic out of the game yesterday from a non-player perspective, I heard Ryan Lefevre say this, that initially, it was only going to be on Saturdays, but the team has decided that the powder blue with the retro helmet, every road game.
That's
what he said during the broadcast.
Instead
of the ugly gray uniforms that most teams wear for whatever reason on the road, they're going to wear the retro. And I know some of you don't like the hat. I don't like it in a ball cap, but the gloss helmet in the retro looks incredible. I wouldn't buy a hat. I don't think I like the hat. But the uniform with the gloss helmet, usually I'm a matte helmet guy, but the gloss helmet.
You like it for the retro.
I think for the retro it works.
I love the powder blue uniforms. I want them to wear them all the time. I hate, with a passion, road grays. I do not understand why that became a thing in baseball. They are the most boring version of everyone's jersey. I don't know why that became a thing in baseball. Oh, we're on the road, so I guess we'll just wear gray. Nobody chooses gray for any other color, anything else in their life besides when your apartment goes to paint your walls in between people. Nobody wants that color.
You're rocking gray today.
It is a really bad day to have that take.
You walked into that one. I was looking at you as you said it. I'm like, wait.
In fairness, there's color. It's not just flat gray, but your point
is
valid.
But I'm with you. The road gray
for
uniforms
the jerseys,
are awful.
It's the most boring version.
Yeah. Isn't it in the NFL, doesn't Seattle have like a road gray? It's ugly. Seahawks wear like that road gray?
There's a couple that are okay.
I mean, the Chiefs obviously just have the white or the red. It's pretty simple, right? Like, but there's some teams that rock the road grays.
I just didn't know why that became a thing. Like, why not that versus like a little bit of color in yours? You know,
going back to the helmets, do they have like those mini helmets for NFL teams? Do they have like a helmet replica?
I don't know
for baseball teams in general.
Yeah, they do. You can buy mini, or you can just buy replica batting helmets. I don't know if they have like the current like that one yet, but that'll be one. Imagine that. I'll be honest, replica batting helmet like that signed by Bobby Wood Jr. or Vinny. That would be great.
Maybe we can get one for the Cody and Gold garage sale.
That would be pretty badass, yeah.
Game used.
Fantastic.
I don't know how often Vinny changes his helmet out, but he did. He made it sound like he was willing to help us out for the Cody and Gold garage
sale. I've noticed,
we're
early in the year, so maybe that's part of it, but the retro helmets, nobody has like the pine tar on the helmet yet. We're dirtying it up. I've looked. No, they're all crystal. They're all clean. Nobody's tried to dirty it up yet.
Looks too good.
Yeah.
Looks too good on the Royals, man. They can't be changing.
Who was it? Was it Gordon that used to dirty his up quite a bit?
Yeah. There's a lot of players who over the years, like that's more.
Is that more of an old school thing now? Does any of the new guys, are the new guys not doing that now? Who on the team? Mikel, I thought had some.
I thought his used to get a little dirty, but now I can't remember. Meanwhile, in the NFL, they have started to change some rules. Let's talk about the ones we like or dislike the least. We can roll through the, I'd say, three most important ones other than the tush push getting tabled for now. They will revisit that conversation in May. First one, they will expand the overtime rules so that now both teams will possess the ball in a regular season game, but that the overtime will be limited to only 10 minutes,
okay,
not 15, because they were worried about overtime games spilling into the next set of games and didn't want to do it. It's fine. I mean, I didn't care if they changed the overtime rule before when they changed it for the Bills or when the Chiefs had asked for it. So it's fine. Both teams want to possess the ball. It's fine. I like doing it under a clock, though. Football games are already long. They have not done anything to try to shorten them. Why would you increase the possibility of a full 15-minute quarter where someone can take 8.5 minutes to drive and get a touchdown, and then I got to watch the other team for 7.5 minutes try to do the same thing? No, thanks. I think 10 minutes is fine.
So, I look, if the playoffs are going to have overtime rules a certain way, I have no reason to think that we shouldn't have that replicated with regular season. It didn't make any sense. So I actually like this. Once you made the change to the postseason overtime rules, why wouldn't we have the same thing for regular season overtime? This is not baseball. There's not 162 games. I get why baseball has different rules with the ghost runner in the world in the playoffs compared to the regular season. But when we're talking about the NFL, that's fine. 15 minutes versus 10.
This is why it should, like, you couldn't have had to change it. You want to shorten the stuff in the regular season, and then it really matters in the postseason, you know? Yeah. It's fine. I don't have
a problem with this. Like, would you guys rather just see a tie in regulation? Why are we upset that they're going to have overtime where there's a chance that somebody can actually win the game? And you're like, well, they had four quarters to win it. I get it. But in the playoffs, we have the rule, and I know someone has to advance to the next round. If you told me the football season was like 30 games or something, then I would probably be with you more. That's why, again, baseball, I'm fine with their overtime extra inning adjustment.
That's why I want, like, shootouts in, like, soccer. If they got tied, whatever. You know, soccer, hockey, or those things, it does kind of make sense.
For the sake of entertainment, though, wouldn't it make – I know that they're not going to do this, but wouldn't it make sense that they adopt, if they want more action, you get rid of punts entirely by – don't do the two-point conversion deal, the shootout, but do – college-like rules where you put the ball at the 40.
People don't like the college rules.
They're in field goal. I know, but it's only because of the two-point conversion. I think that is the only reason people don't like it, because you're in field goal range, put the ball at the 40, make it harder to score a touchdown. There's no punts. It's only points. And if you can't convert it, then sorry. I think the game would go, not necessarily quicker, but for the amount of time a full 10-minute period would take with commercials and everything, I feel like for getting no points in that 10 minutes, getting at least some points and having to go a little bit longer would make it more entertaining for the NFL perspective.
Yeah, so I want college overtime if I could choose, but they already made their decision on their overtime by changing the playoff one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is kind of like, we know they're not going to do the college thing. I would have done that before I changed the playoff team. My thing, the reason why I like this is just it makes it a little bit more uniform to where the postseason. Someone says, wouldn't the coin flip winner have a higher chance of winning? They can milk 8 minutes of the 10.
Now, if you remember the Chiefs overtime in the Super Bowl, you get to run out the clock for as long as you want. They could have scored with zeros on the clock for as long. You get a full possession.
Yeah, everybody at home was yelling and freaking out on the Niners-Chiefs overtime. And Andy Reid and the coaching staff, they knew.
Strategy-wise, the only thing it changes, I think, is that you want to probably work in your four-minute offense in the first possession. Because if you go down and score a touchdown, or you go down and score a field goal with only 10 minutes, you want to have a chance at a third possession. So you got to, like, you're going to want to work with pace, not go slow. You're going to want to work with pace if you're the first team to possess the ball going down the field.
You are guaranteed and two possessions, and while you have, and you're like, you don't run out of time on your second possession.
And same rule applies your first as it did in the Super Bowl. Now that you know this, overtime, you no longer want the ball. You want to kick it to the other team and know what you have to do. Know you got to score a field goal. Right. Know you got to score a touchdown. Know what you got to do. Now you can do it. The other two ones are they expanded replay assists. So the thing we talked about more, they can do it for personal foul penalties, roughing the passer penalties, et cetera. Outside of
that, see how this
at
goes.
Least it's replay assist, not things you can challenge. If it goes fast, I'll let it go. I told you I want less replay, but whatever. And then the one you and I said they kind of had to do, which is the kickoffs, touchbacks are now moved to the 35. Good. They think it'll increase kickoffs by 33%. Because if you didn't move it to the 35, then you should just get rid of kickoffs entirely. Those were, to me, the only two choices. Move it to the 35, or kickoffs don't exist anymore. Because you weren't getting enough kickoffs. You weren't getting enough bang for your buck. It wasn't really worth it. And so doing this at least forces you to kick the ball in play, and we get returns again.
When the landing zone kickoff thing, dynamic kickoff, was announced, we saw it a few times in the preseason. We saw it a couple weeks in the year. It was very, very obvious that they needed to make this adjustment. And hell, I would have been fine with it going to the 40. And if you're saying, well, that's too easy, it's a short field. That's the point. The point is to encourage kickoff returns and kickoffs. Now the landing zone thing might have a bigger impact. Teams might try to play the landing zone game because there's a little bit more of a penalty. Now, I think some teams still might even say at 35-yard line, we're fine with it. Just we don't want to risk the. We'll just let them have it at the 35. But at least there's a greater chance. The league, yes, believes it's going to go up 33%. I think 40 would have solved the entire problem. But the whole thing is going to always be gimmicky because you're not going
to
have
again if you
you're not going to have real kickoffs because it's either this or yeah, they won't have them because of the combination of safety. But a year ago when they first proposed the new kickoff, special teams coordinators said it should have been the 35 to begin with. It was the league that said, they we'll try it at the 30, and here we are a year later.
And then everyone just kept burying it in the back of the end zone because they didn't care about the 5 yards, you know?
Doesn't this technically benefit the Chiefs in a way as well? Based on what Nico Remigio is doing as a returner, the fact if they're making them return more, I feel like he's, at least from watching games last year, I don't know if it was more just watching the Chiefs than other teams in general, but it seemed like the Chiefs and Nico Remigio was very effective in the chances that he did get to return the ball. So I think it kind of plays into their favor a little bit. Where Nico Remigio, at least you would also think in terms of a roster spot, if I got to return more kicks, Nico Remigio is your guy where I've got to be feeling good going into camp anyways. If I'm Nico, just based on the rule change, I feel like I've solidified a spot where I am going to be the returner going forward, regardless of what happens.
He had success. I mean, the team, they were always going to have somebody return kicks, whether it was keeping the rules or not, right? Like, somebody was going to be back there. I think Nico did a nice job. Do I think he's like one of the best? Do I think he's one of the best returners? And like, no, he hasn't done it. He did a nice job.
It'd be interesting to see where he was in terms of just, I guess, return average compared to other people, because he did almost house the one in the playoff game everything like that.
The funniest result of this is if they get all the kickoffs back and everybody's returning them again, and then they turned out with this type of kickoff return, people are still getting hurt. And after all that,
it is football. So
when all the study comes out, they're just like, well, still the most dangerous play in the sport. So I guess get rid of it entirely. I just felt like they were going to kill it if they didn't change the yard line.
These are all last-ditch efforts to save the kickoff, because, the next step is that they just say, give him the ball at the 35 and let's stop wasting our time. And there's part of me that believes in that anyway. But they're trying to save it one way or the other. And this is the latest step to do that. Up next, though, we'll get to the random question of the day. And you think what happened to Peter Vermes was similar to what happened to Dayton Moore. And you think there's another name that some scenario could actually exist where that influential sports figure ends up with the same fate. You and I disagree on this. We'll get back into it next. Little after 12:30 here on a Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a solid day. Thanks for tuning into the show as always. Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon on your home for KC Sports, 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, we always video stream the show as well. You can watch us on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it. Make sure you subscribe, though. Makes it easy that way, whether it's us, whether it's The Drive, whether it's Fesco and Dusty. You don't have to search for the station or anything like that. Just subscribe on YouTube. Makes it very easy so you don't miss anything. We appreciate you guys taking in the show, however you do, whether it's obviously in your car, whether it's on the Odyssey app or on one of the video platforms as well. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes or so. Also, keep an eye on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Yesterday, the big story in Kansas City was Peter Vermes out as manager of Sporting Kansas City.
Legend?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, won a cup here as a player and as a manager, and also help grow soccer, plain and simple, in Kansas City. And what Sporting KC is today, they would not be without Peter Vermes. But it was time, as
probably
we said.
Soccer is in the city wouldn't
for
be
sure.
without Peter Vermes.
But it was time. And you made the comp yesterday that it reminded you a little bit of how the tenure for Dayton Moore ended as well.
Yeah, weird.
And then earlier today you said, is there somebody else locally that could have a similar fate, legendary figure? You wouldn't think that they could, you know, ever go out in this fashion. The name you threw out, I disagree with it, but the name
you
threw out.
Well, I wouldn't bring up Andy Reid. He's in the middle of going to a Super Bowl every damn year. Things aren't going bad for Andy.
You asked me if I thought it could end like this for Bill Self.
I did. And I think it's a realistic question in the sense that similar boats, in my opinion, not direct comparisons. Bill Self has had more success, although Peter Vermes, they consider 3 major trophies in soccer. He technically has 4 of those 3 major trophies because he won 3 U.S. Open Cups as well to go with the MLS Cup. And, true, you know, had a ton of success. So, like, I mean, he definitely won some stuff to go in there. Dayton Moore was, in my opinion, at one time here, untouchable. He took a team who was miserably bad and brought him into a World Series, back-to-back World Series trips, He got fired within 7 years of winning that World Series. Like, that's how quickly it turned for Dave Moore. It got so ugly so fast that they decided to walk him. Now, there's an ownership change in there.
I think that's key.
So, like, that could have been playing a factor and very well could have played a factor in his untouchable status. There's not going to be ownership change of Kansas Athletics. There could be a different...
athletic director.
But yeah, but the athletic director stuff, I mean, they answer to Bill.
Yeah, Bill's...
He's more powerful than any athletic director.
That point right there, though, is why I to answer your overall, your general question, no, I do not believe the tenure could end in, and you're asking basically in a firing? No.
Yes.
I do not believe that scenario exists. Now, could, if Kansas were to miss multiple NCAA tournaments for the first time ever under Bill Self...
If they miss the next two, do you think he quits?
I could see him saying, look, this whole NIL thing and the development, I can't figure this thing out. I'll be 64 at that point in time.
They've missed a tournament in like a gajillion years.
This is the hypothetical. These are the crazy scenarios that would have to take place. In general, I know you're saying that nobody would have thought Dayton Moore or Peter Vermees' tenure would have ended the way they did, and that's why you're bringing up Bill Self. I get it.
The beginning stages of those, because he hasn't gotten out of the round of 32 in 3 years.
Yeah. I think there's... While I get the comp, I think there is a discrepancy. One, we are talking about professional sports versus collegiate, even though collegiate's represent, you know, is blending the fine line between the two now more than ever, right? We would argue it is professional sports to some degree.
It is.
And I get that. I think the ownership thing is a huge part of also what happened to Dayton at the end of his tenure. And somebody that did not hire him came in and was able to recognize where they could improve. And I think they have, right? In certain areas within the organization.
They are a more functional organization right now.
For Bill Self, I think he is someone that will go out on his own terms. Now, could it be because it's not going well? Sure. I don't think you will ever see the press release that says Bill Self fired from Kansas.
But let's just say,
no, I do not think that's happening.
4 straight years. He
doesn't mean that he couldn't sense that things aren't going well in a couple of years and decides to just step away from the game because he doesn't like this current era of college basketball. That could happen.
Mutually agreed to part ways, retiring from basketball. I know it might sound... I know it might sound different, as in, like, it's not an identical headline. The ones between Dayton Moore and Vermees were not identical headlines, but it could follow the same path, I think, if really the next 4 to 5 years continue to go the way the last three tournaments have gone, in addition to a missed tournament. That's what it would take for this to even be on the table, in my opinion. In the last three tournaments, he's lost in the round of 32, round of 32, round of 64. And then obviously the year before that, he won the national championship.
2022, they were national champions.
Yeah, but like I'm just saying the last three tournaments, right? Yeah. Because it's four tournaments ago now because this was not over. Right. So by the time, whatever.
Yeah.
Round of 32, round of 32, round of 64. If the next 4 years are missed tournament, round of 64, round of 64, round of 32, I could see it but would it have to go that bad?
It would have to be disastrous.
It would have to go that bad. I'm just curious what it would take because of... Yeah. There's a time that I didn't think either of these guys would ever leave either of these organizations, and eventually they did. And look, we just said the same thing. Like, I view this as like Bill Belichick. There is never a chance on the planet I would have ever thought Bill Belichick... Is that different?
Here's why I think
it's
different.
He's the most successful NFL coach of all time, and they kicked his ass out.
Here's why I think it's different.
Is it the college to pros thing?
It's a huge part of it. It's because in that scenario, Bill Belichick had internally, clearly, the debate as well within the organization. Who's more responsible for this? Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever, or Bill Belichick, who maybe is the greatest coach ever? College players aren't... Nobody's debating if you know... Even if, you know, pick a, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe Thomas Robinson was more the reason, you know?
John Shire at Duke. Nobody's like, man, is it Cooper Flagg? We got to make a choice. Is it Flagg or Shire? No, Flagg is going to the NBA next year. So you don't have that same dynamic. I hear you. I get what you're saying. Bill Self also has a lifetime contract that rolls over year to year. It's just different scenarios within it.
I think there are some similarities, right? Like, you're saying different scenarios, but it's not black and white, night and day. Bill Belichick was the most successful NFL coach of all time. He lost his job eventually. That's crazy.
The argument you should be making, Cody, is that Cal also had a lifetime contract, and he was kicked out of the building essentially. He had a lifetime deal at Kentucky, and it got so bad, as in missing two tournaments and not being able to make it out of the round of 32 the last 3 years in which they did make the tournament. They just needed a change. I agree with you, Gold, though. I think in the grand scheme of things, we're not going to see... I don't think we're ever going to see it get to that point where, Cody, I don't know, if you take the next 5 years, and let's say he has the exact same copycat last 5 years
And I can't Kansas, be the last 5 years because they won a championship. He's
by the way, I'll take winning a title every 5 years. I will as a KU alum. As a KU alum, I will sign up for five titles.
He also nearly Calipari's not as established as Bill Self is. You know, like he wasn't. You know, Bill Self's been around a lot longer at Kansas than Calipari was at.
Correct. I think that, like, if you took the next 5 years and it was miss the tournament, first round exit, second round exit, first round exit, I think there would be a lot of people that would be asking the same questions of Bill Self that they would be asking of Calipari. I'm not saying that Bill Self would be gone, but I do think if you take the last 5 years that Cal had at Kentucky and you put it for the next 5 years at Kansas, if you miss two tournaments and you don't make it out of the round of 32 after that, I don't think it's going to happen. Do you know how crazy
that scenario is? That, like, what you just said. So, like, this year was the first time.
I'm using the comparison that makes sense. I don't think it's going to happen. Using the comparison that would make sense.
But that's how crazy of a scenario it would take.
Yes.
And Bill Self this year is like, as horrific as they were this year, it was the first time they were not a 4 seed, at least in the tournament. They were a 7 seed, as awful as that was. And we're all saying, and you're saying as well, that they would have to flat out miss the tourney in 2 years. I'm not telling you that they're going to be a top 1 or 2 seed next year. I that's not what I'm saying at all. But the notion that they're just going to, you know, fall off the way Duke did for a year or Kentucky did for a couple years. Like, people think KU fell off this year, and falling off this year was a 7 seed.
Bill Self is too good
of a coach. Not acceptable by the spoiled KU standard. I can admit that.
But not close to missing the tournament.
Yeah.
He's too good of a coach to let that run that Cal had happen.
But that's crazy. I would have said the same thing about Cal. Like, this is the thing. I pointed this out before the term. This is not an anti-Kansas. I'm just curious now because I have seen in the last 3 years, 4 years, multiple all-time people in their organization get booted. A couple in Kansas City and a couple in the national thing when I was pointing out, like, Bill Belichick, or you mentioned Coach Calipari.
Yeah, but, so they, like, but Dayton didn't win for 8 years or 7 years, though.
But, like, who?
Dayton. He didn't win for, like, seven or eight years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah. I'm not saying Bill could miss the tournament next year and they tell him to kick rocks. It would take
Vermees hasn't won in 4 years, you know, 5 years. He hadn't won a game in 195 days, to be exact.
Complete.
You know what I mean? Like,
they should have given the contract 2 years ago, but yeah, they made a mistake. It does take a lot. I'm never claiming that, because the same thing happened to Bill Belichick. It wasn't just a 1 year problem. It's that for 5 consecutive years, his team stunk. Yeah. They weren't making the postseason. Mm-hmm. They weren't. But, like, 5 years is a long time in sports. If you go 5 years not accomplishing the things that people are accustomed to you accomplishing, it can find you kind of on the outside looking in. And I, like, again, I had said this before the tournament gold, as you remember. This is not like a knock on where Kansas, like, I don't think the sky is completely falling with Kansas right now. I'm pointing out, I'm asking a question about what would it take for this person to get out. As I had said to you, every other major college program and coach has either missed the tournament or had a worse run than this in the last 15 years. North Carolina's missed tournaments. Duke, all these teams have gone through this. That's not like Kansas is not like immune to this run. And their 4-year run still includes a championship 4 tournaments ago and then 3 early exits of tournament teams. A lot of these other ones have missed the tournament. I just didn't know what it would take. I definitely think it has to include a missed tournament, because that would end the nation's longest streak of making the tournaments. And it would start to be like, how the hell did that happen? I don't know. Was it 30 years in a row? How many times they made the tournament in a row?
I think 34, yes, something like that. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's a crazy amount.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. The question I've got for you today. All right, so I want it to be specific. I'm going to set a ground rule here early. I don't want it to just be broad, like Chiefs,
okay,
Royals. I want you to be more specific in the answer you give to this. If you had to speak, filibuster, if you will, for 24 consecutive hours on a subject, what is a subject that you feel that you could comfortably do? Don't just say the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. You could tell me about, like, if you think
whether or not they should send Salvi
on the fly ball. Whatever you think it is, if you had to choose a more directed topic and talk about it for 24 hours, what is your
answer? I got my answer. Listen to this. It would be on how Bill Self is not getting fired at Kansas. That would actually be what I would filibuster about.
You could do 24 straight hours about how he shouldn't be fired at Kansas and will never be?
Yeah.
You could probably do a little bit of time in that based on our conversations today. I don't think we'd have any trouble doing some time on that.
Yeah.
It would be on Bill's self. You are very, you don't like when people try to pre-fire coaches that make no sense to fire, I'll say. Not just Bill in particular.
Yeah. I mean,
you
I
said
think
the same thing about
people
the people who were talking about Missouri's head coach this year.
Yeah. I think sometimes, part of fandom is being irrational, right? That's what's fun about it. I think sometimes, though, when it comes to, it's easy to say, go fire somebody without having the plan and alternative of who the hell is going to be better. It's very easy to say, well, anybody will be better. And like in a lot of cases that is, we've seen that happen with whether it's professional teams or collegiate programs, and it's a disaster. So that would be my answer. What about you?
If you would have asked me this question 9 years ago, I would have said college players need to get paid.
Oh,
I could talk about that.
That would have been a good one.
I wrote a thesis paper on it when I was in college, actually. Yes, I was all about it. I would say now, though, in terms of just talking, having a debate, or just like having a conversation for 24
hours. You just got to keep telling people. Yeah, I mean, someone can fire back a question or two, but you got to go straight.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's a take necessarily, but it's more of I could debate a top 10 NBA players all time for 24 hours without hesitation.
Somebody mentioned I could do 24 hours on how Patrick Mahomes is the greatest quarterback of all time. Somebody had mentioned, that was just talking more about self. Somebody just said hot ladies is something I could talk about forever for 24 straight hours. Just the women you find attractive, that list would start feeling real creepy after about 20 minutes, 24 hours. After 20 minutes, that conversation would feel creepy. I realized the other day, right before the tournament, we were briefly getting into this conversation, and I realized a topic I could do 24 hours on comfortably, and that is two sports movie debates. One, the greatest baseball movie of all time. The second, not even the greatest basketball movie of all time, but why Hoosiers is not even a top 20 basketball movie of all time. I could easily do 24 hours breaking down Blue Chips.
Top 20?
Talking about Space Jam. 20? Not even top 20. Coach Carter.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Like Mike is better with Bow Wow?
Okay, let's not get carried away. It's probably not better than Like Mike, but Air Bud's better.
Love Air Bud.
I might start
Loved
making Air an Bud. Argument Air Bud's for great. Flubber. I could get through so many Flubber. Movies and talking about their premises and why those premises are better than the one in Hoosiers. I could do 24 straight hours on why Hoosiers is not a top 20 basketball movie of all time.
By the way, yeah, the Air Bud's up there. Mm. Glory Road is definitely up there as well. Someone says they think you would just do 24 hours talking about cheese. Oh. We know you can talk about cheeses.
Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti, cream cheese, Colby Jack. Did I say Gruyere? Blue? Swiss.
All the cheeses.
Text line says they could do 24 hours on that ending of the Game of Thrones series.
Ooh,
still.
I like it.
That's not bad. That's
someone
a pretty good answer.
From the 913, I could speak 24 hours talking about how the Bengals won't win a Super Bowl with Josh. They said with Josh Burrow. They mean Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Their text said Josh Burrow.
Oh, yeah. People mentioned Teen Wolf. That's also better than that. I mean, it's not even a top 20. It might not be top 30. I don't want to say for sure. Hoosiers might not be a top 30 basketball
movie. Hold on. How many actual basketball movies are there?
Like, he got game, Above the Rim, Hoop Dreams. These are all better.
There's probably 100 of them.
Is Flubber really a basketball movie?
No.
Okay, no,
so people get in these arguments all the time, right?
I agree.
Why not?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Someone says they could talk about for 24 hours about how a hot dog is not a sandwich. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of food debates you could get into.
White Men Can't Jump, Finding Forrester. I'm getting to 20 without a sweat. I take it back. It's not a top 40 basketball movie. Hoosier stinks.
Oh, it's top 40. Stop. Stop.
I got
it's
to 20 40. Without even trying.
Now, this one's recent and is relevant right now. Someone says 24 hours on all the different theories of severance. Have you finally watched the season finale?
I'm just like, I need to like, I'm going to have to listen to a podcast to digest.
Yeah, well, I know. That's
there's
the
just
whole point
so
of
much.
This.
There's just so much going on. I feel like I'm getting lost in it.
The finale was great. But now we're going to have to wait a year or whatever for season 3.
This is the most confused I've been watching a show since I watched. Did anybody else watch the show Mr. Robot?
No.
With Rami Malek? Really good show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what's real, what's not, what's happening, like I just dense
no, there's
in like
confusion.
The way where you're like, well, they're trying to confuse you. It's not like it's an accidental like
I love it,
oops,
though.
We confuse you. They want a thousand it's, different you know,
my favorite show right now, no doubt.
I would say another one I could spend 24 hours doing is I could just be asked random questions from Cody or just random questions in general. I'd feel comfortable going random question after random question for 24 hours.
Oh, just like cycling back through. It'd be hard to come up with 24. You know, like if you said, like, let's debate one an hour,
every,
you probably need one every, what, 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
So you probably need about 100 random questions. I might be able
All you got
to
do
it.
Is start throwing out hypotheticals, and then you'll be good to go.
Somebody said 24 hours and all my losing bets. Betting's, you know, like talking about all the different ways, like this, how like people play like poker or those things.
Mm-hmm.
People love talking about bad poker stories or those things and, you know, so many other things that are available to you in that way. You got to think about it, man. It would be hard. Somebody's like, I could, like, over on Twitch, Scoob said, I could touch lithograph printing as a whole. He's like, it'd be very dry, but I could do it. Like, if it's your job, you probably could get to the ins and outs, right? If you spend, doesn't matter what you sell. Like, if you spend, if you sell dental equipment and that's what you do 40 hours a week, you could probably stretch that into 24 hours if you had to.
From the 913, I could talk 24 hours about the different Jokers. Heath Ledger's still the best, by the way.
Comic books and comic book lore is probably a pretty good breadth of knowledge one because there is a lot of different, like,
the Marvel,
opinions.
Marvel
Cinematic Universe, you could go for a while.
I could do 24 hours doing Marvel. I love Marvel.
In the question you asked about, like, filibustering, I mean, the topic of, like, college basketball and Bill, you could just go through and, like, and literally read game scores and box scores of every game during Bill Self's tenure, and that'll kill about 8 hours.
Don't forget listing the number of people who have two national championships as a college basketball coach. Talk about his tenure at Kansas. How many Big 12 titles?
So that would be the.
What's the last Big 12 title they won? The same year they won the national.
They won
championship?
The regular season the year after.
They
won the regular season the year after that.
It's only been a couple of years on Big 12 title.
So the text line brings up a question, Cody, and I think I also should follow up on it. They say, they said Cody probably thinks Disney movie Double Teamed is better than Hoosiers. Do you think that?
I haven't seen that.
Do you think High School Musical is a?
I haven't seen that either.
The basketball movie. Do you think High School Musical is a better basketball movie than Hoosiers?
I have not seen that. So,
you're missing out.
No, I haven't seen it, so I don't want to say for sure. I do think Up in the Air with Kevin Bacon is better than it. So, I mean, look, I have seen so many basketball movies is the only thing I'm learning about this.
I have seen,
like, and I don't even remember, like, I liked Hustle by Adam Sandler better
than that movie was good. That movie's better than
Hoosiers. I agree with that. More, you know, like, I like that one way
more. Well, that's
more
good. I mean, I don't think
Hoosiers.
That's a knock, but
I've already gotten to 20.
Hoosiers is not, like, you're acting like it's the 50th best basketball movie.
I think it's like the 41st best.
And this is
I
not
would rather watch Celtic Pride with Damon Wayans than watch Hoosiers, okay?
Now, like, I don't think Hoosiers is top, like, it's not my top five. I mean, I think it has flaws and it can be boring at times, but it's not, like, the 50th best, that's all.
Maybe it's just because Hinkle Fieldhouse is the reason that I like Hoosiers more than other movies.
Yeah, you're
but,
biased.
You know,
biased opinion. Biased. Indiana boy.
I agree, though. Hustle is better than Hoosiers.
Ooh, 100%. I'm surprised. I didn't think I was going to get much on that.
That movie's great. If it's anything based on a true story, I feel like those movies always, of course, Hoosiers kind of is as well. But
Texline says they could do 24 hours on why I'll never win a hot dog race. I'm going to try to get myself back in this year.
Don't spots from people, you know?
Don't
spots from people.
Will I attempt? Will I attempt to... Oh, that person said they could. I don't think I could talk about 24 hours about the hot dog race. And I've had a lot of
turn it into talking about hot dogs and condiments, and then it'd get into a Joey Chestnut discussion and Kobayashi and
Bink is Bink somebody could who could talk about Joey Chestnut for 24 hours.
Someone says, what's better, Hoosiers or our old 610 logo?
That's the question.
God, I hated that logo so much.
Glad we have the 96.5 The Fan logo.
I think he's going to say the logo.
I was trashing. No.
By the way, I was trashing that
logo before we had changed to 96.5 The Fan, to be clear. I didn't even hold a punch when it was definitively our logo.
Unless somebody in the building is willing to make a donation for it, the 610, our old 610 Sports Radio banner that was in the studio is going to be in the Cody Engel garage sale, which we'll have in June. We'll have more details on the garage sale, raising money for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. But that banner will be up for purchase unless somebody in the building says they want it for their garage or
it's
something.
Huge.
But they'll have to make a donation if they want it.
Yeah. It's a I mean, you need a good full-size garage space to hang that thing up there.
That's right. All right. Up next, let's get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about how the league is discussing the tush push. It's just not going to be banned today, at least. It could still happen in May. And who has the more encouraging start out of two offensive players for the Royals? That's next.